How many folks have been here every single service of the revival? Most of you that are in here tonight. That's wonderful. Most churches you go into and they have a revival, 30% of the church might show up for most of the service. And that's wonderful. And tonight, I don't have a whole lot prepared tonight. I was kind of struggling on what to speak about, and Jonathan, to be honest with you, kind of stole my thoughts this morning in the Sunday school hour, and I had planned on using that scripture reference, and so I had to come up with something different for tonight. But I'm going to kind of stay on the same subject, and tonight, if you got your Bibles with you, open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 14. Verse 14 says, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you're going to do tonight, Lord. And please, please, Father, use me. Don't let anybody see anything that I do up here. Let them see you working through me, Lord. That's what it's all about. It's not about anything that we can do. It's all about people seeing you inside of us, Lord. Thank you for all that you're going to do, and please touch somebody's heart that might need you. Help the person who's closest to eternity come to know you tonight, Lord, and if they don't know you, in your name I pray. Amen. Here in Galatians, Paul is talking to Peter, who was kind of hung up on the idea that the law was a way to earn salvation, and the Jews. If you don't have any idea, that's not necessarily the law that he's talking about, is the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments, for a simpler term. And if a person didn't follow that law, the Jews believed that they weren't going to make it into heaven, or they didn't have salvation. What happened was, before Christ Jesus came into the world, we had to live by those standards. The Jews had to live by those standards. And they had to sacrifice a lamb every single year to cover the sins of all the people. But when Christ came, Christ was that ultimate sacrifice. And tonight I've got 3 points. First point's going to be the purpose of the cross. The second point is the power of the cross. And the third point is the price of the cross. The purpose of the cross was so that we, as sinners, could come to a saving repentance. The cross was, like Jonathan said this morning, the cross was something that the Romans used to execute the worst criminals that they could ever find. It was something like what we would say the electric chair, or even lethal injection. It was the absolute worst punishment that they could think of to do to people. And a lot of us think, you know, well, it was a quick, easy thing. Sometimes I think that history records that people who were crucified would hang on a cross for days on end, because the way that they were hanging, it wasn't that that's what killed them. It was them suffocating because they had to pull themselves up. That's an awful way to die. Think about that. That's so terrible, to spend that much time not being able to breathe and suffocating in that manner. The cross was, it was a place of ultimate shame and agony. And the reason God sent His Son was so that we didn't have to bear that. That's the purpose of the cross. And I'll tell you, that cross that Jesus Christ went and chose to carry up Calvary's Hill was meant for us, if you think about it. God didn't have to do what He did. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I said that this morning. And tonight, the whole entire purpose that we have come, and it seems like there's been a theme in every message that's been spoke this week, and it's kind of been a discipleship theme. And tonight, for those of us who have been in here and listened to every single one of those messages, I want you to listen tonight in an evangelistic way. If you've never really understood what this chapter, the whole chapter of Galatians 2 right here, is talking about, maybe you need to look into it a little bit deeper. Because it's not how much we can do for God, it's what He did for us. Where it says in 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We were on that cross with Him when He died. Our sinful, awful nature. Like I said this morning, there's nobody that's too good that they don't need salvation. There's nobody too bad that we can't be saved. Each one of us, individually, were on that cross. And when we come to the saving knowledge and accept that Jesus Christ is that sacrifice for us, we become sons of God, just like Jesus Himself. We have got that, just like Zach was talking about being adopted. We were adopted into the family of God. God chose to allow us to do that because He loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God loves each and every one of us in here tonight. And maybe you're in here tonight just because, like I've always said, that you just want to be here because it's something that's inside of you, not necessarily pride, but maybe it's something that you think it's going to earn you something to be here tonight inside this church building. That's not going to earn you a thing. The only thing that's going to earn you salvation is what Jesus has already done for you. It's so simple. I mean, I see so many preachers get up and scream and shout and holler, and they'll kick around and they'll jump up and down and they'll scream, but they never get to the true fact that what we really need is to surrender ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They can get up here and they can go for hours on end. But sometimes it just needs to be put plainly, in simple terms, to where people will understand that it's not about how loud a person can be or how rambunctious a person can be. It's about how much God loves them. I guarantee you the Apostle Paul, when he went and preached, how do you think Paul might have preached? I bet he taught more than he preached, to be honest with you, in our terms, what we would think. He would go in and he would teach people. Listen to the way that he writes this over in verse 15 here. He says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, and in 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Does that sink in? That might go over top of some of our heads, but what he's saying is that basically we can't do it and the law can't do it, but Christ did it. And our faith in Him is what earns us that salvation. Verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. If we are looking to be justified by Christ and we are found sinners, does that mean that Christ was a sinner? No, that's what Paul is saying right here. That's the hard verse to understand in this. He says, God forbid. In 18 it says, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. That's justifying what I just said. If I build again what I destroyed, he makes himself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Tonight, many of us think that if we sin, we have to be good, or we have to be what people would think of as a good person. And what we do and how we portray ourselves is what is going to earn us that salvation. That's what I've been talking about. But the thing about it is, there's absolutely nothing in this world besides God that is good. There's nothing good. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. So in other words, just because you have that pride that I spoke on this morning, and you think that you're good, let me tell you something, you're not. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm sure it does. But you ain't good enough. Jesus Christ was. He went through every single thing that we go through, but never once did he commit a sin. Never once. The devil took him up on top of the mountain and showed him everything of the world, offered it to him. He already owned it anyway. It was his. The devil took him up there and tempted him, his human side, and wanted him to submit to the devil's lordship. Like I talked about this morning, the devil thought that he could be better than God. But Jesus Christ withstood every single bit of that in a human form. Could you? If you were offered every single thing that you can imagine, everything that you would want, could you do that? No way. And be honest. There's no way. We might say that we could, but we really couldn't. But Jesus did. He experienced every single thing that we experienced. He experienced pain. When Lazarus died, the Bible says that Jesus wept. It's not wrong to have emotions. What's wrong is how you conduct those emotions and how you portray those emotions. But Jesus never sinned. Jesus got mad. He went into the temple and they were standing there selling things, turned it into Walmart. What did he do? He flipped those tables over and run them out. Just because he was angry doesn't mean that he was sinning. A lot of times we confuse anger and sin. But Jesus Christ himself was angry. He was not. Sometimes we stereotype and we look at Jesus as being the picture of the long-haired guy with the beard holding a lamb. I don't think that that's what Jesus really was. I think Jesus was a tough fella. He hung out with some of the worst in the world. He went and chose the fishermen who were probably the worst people. People who had the worst outlook on them of anybody there to be his disciples. So let me tell you something. Just because you think you're good doesn't mean that you are. Those disciples, they were probably the worst people. He had a tax collector, the most despised person in the land was one of his disciples. But he chose to come and be that person because he loved us. This morning, Jonathan spoke on Matthew 16:24. Let's flip over there. Let's read just that right quickly. And I promise if y'all listen fast, I'll get done. Like I said, I've got a 9-hour trip home. I might go ahead and pray and close the service out right now. All right, Matthew 16:24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That goes hand in hand with my last point, the price of the cross. What does that say there? It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Like Jonathan brought out this morning, that word deny right there is not talking about giving up something or saying that I'm going to quit smoking this week and or I'm going to quit doing this or I'm going to do that. That word deny right there is talking about submitting yourself wholly, completely, teetotally to God and allowing Him to be the Lord of your life. That's a hard thing to do. That's why I think there's so many Christians who aren't really true Christians. They're not willing to give up what they really want to do. There's too much of that pride that I preached about this morning running their lives. It's not what God wants, it's what they want, down deep. It might be on the outside, but on the inside, who's controlling them? Is God in control of each and every one of our lives in here tonight? Because that's what matters. Deny yourself and follow me, is what Jesus said. We follow Christ. In order to follow Christ, you have to deny yourself. That's why the Bible sometimes, the Bible explains itself. That's why I'm so, when it comes to a preacher, I want somebody who's going to dig into the Word. The Bible right here says, if any man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, it puts that in order. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Three steps. Once we deny ourselves and allow the Lord to become that Lord of our life, it says, take up the cross, take up His cross. That cross is discipleship. That's what he's talking about right there. He's talking about continuing to surrender your life to Him. Allowing Him to work through you and grow inside of you. And then the follow me part. As we follow Christ, we have... There's so many of us think that just because we're Christians, I'm using quotation marks there, that we are following God, following Christ. Like I said, you still ain't got the first step down yet. You hadn't denied yourself. It's so easy for us to do that. Tonight, I don't know why the Lord has led me to speak on this, but maybe there's somebody in here who's never really denied themselves, never allowed themselves to be crucified with Christ. Are you willing to place yourself on to that cross with Christ? Our human nature is not. We're not able to. But God loves us so much that He reaches down and draws us up and places us on that cross with His Son. These guys are going to come up and they're going to sing a hymn of invitation tonight. I'm going to ask them to sing "Just As I Am." That's how the Lord wants us. He doesn't want all of our faults. He doesn't care about any of that. All He cares about is our soul. Why is it that so many of us think that that we're able to climb up on that cross by ourselves. If we'll just admit and surrender and give up everything that's inside of us holding us back and allow God to control us, that's what we got to do. You have to. You absolutely have to surrender everything inside of you. This morning I talked a little bit about how it all started back in the beginning. It started back in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were given the most beautiful, perfect place that you can imagine to have and to live. I think God's awful good to us too, still. But this morning they were in such a place to where they didn't have to worry about sin. All they had to do was obey what God told them. God told them not to eat of the fruit of that tree. But they went and did it anyway because they thought that they could be what the devil told them. They could be as gods. He lied to them. It all originates from the devil. That's the whole problem. This morning I spoke on pride and how that's what caused the devil to be the devil. If you're prideful tonight and you're not willing to give up and deny everything inside of you, that's only the devil inside of you. While these guys sing tonight, everybody stand.